Well, it's hard to believe that this year has passed, as it were, in terms of just the sequence of our events and activities. And we come to this chapel now, which is the last of our regular chapels. Obviously, our ward chapel we'll have on Wednesday and our Bible conference activities. But for all intents and purposes, this becomes the concluding regular chapel, however that might be described. We began the season of our chapels with a focus on our theme of servants who fear the Lord. And with that, sought to give you a little bit of a reminder of how that focus would take place with our AAA card, drawing upon that identity with an auto club service that provides safety and travel as we move down the highways. And our intent was to remind us to have a sense of safety and dependence as we were servants who feared the Lord, with this AAA of awe and accountability and awareness. And don't know if you still have your card handy. Mine's in my wallet. I don't have my wallet here. It's actually back in the sound booth with Mr. Lustgarten, who demands I give him a deposit to wear this mic because I walk off with him, so he's got my wallet. But it's in there, and I have reference regularly as I have occasions to be using a credit card or to find myself just having to pull out my, driver's license for ID in the airport, and I regularly see it. And it reminds me that I truly have the wonderful privilege of the assurance of being his child in the safety of life spiritually. I don't know if you've reviewed this card recently with its ingredients, but it's a life assurance program. Its membership card is there for you with no expiration date. Even though we conclude this theme essentially with this school year, I hope that you'll maintain maybe that card identity as a reminder of the year, but also as a reminder of your privilege to have his protection and his care as you fear him. I'm not sure if any of you remember the digits that are there with the membership numbers, so what those numbers or how we came up with those numbers, but just to save time, the 211 is the passage in Psalm 211 from which we got this particular theme. Serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling, and we find ourselves. And then the passage we're memorizing, Psalm 34, 7 through 14. And so that little way of reminding even of the theme of the year. I hope that the card will be a reminder, and I hope you take note of the theme on the back. It's not there. I'm not showing that for this purpose. But the signature of your pledge of seeking to be a servant who fears God, I hope that the continuation of that will be a part of your life. But in the midst of that, in this chapel, I just would like to first off begin with an announcement, and that is this. Final exams are coming. Now, I know you don't like that announcement, but that's the facts of life. And so reality is reality, and final exams are coming. By the way, I will make this additional announcement. I think that casual attire for finals would be nice. Would you all agree? Oh, well, not very many did, so I guess we won't. I'm sorry that you blew a chance to really participate. Some of you that just sit and never participate, this was your one moment. And no, I'm just joking. I think casual attire for finals would be fine. Do you agree? Yes. That's a little better, so... Okay. No shorts for you to get carried away with casual that way. But other than that, enjoy that atmosphere. And if that spoils it for you, why be spoiled? Okay. But the truth is, finals are coming. So here's the question. Do you have the grades to finish well? Now, this is not an academic session as such. I do hope that you do have. And I hope that you've committed to that because that's part of our stewardship. I was thinking this morning as I was reviewing further my message, and it's a standard joke in my office that a message is never finished until you preach it. And so while the details of this have been long accomplished in most measures, even as late as right before my class this morning, I'm giving some additional adjustments to Miss Mullins down here who puts up with those kinds of things. But a message is always in gestation. And this is for free to you guys that preach. I think that your heart should always be agitated with the message that God lays there to see what else he might be giving you. And so with that in mind, as I was thinking early this morning about my message, I found myself saying, I wish there was some way that I could communicate to our campus family, both staff, faculty, and you as students, how unique this privilege is for us to be in this place. Not because I'm here, not because I'm president, not because I'm just trying to promote ABC, but you stop to think the majority of the people in the world never, ever have this privilege. Amazing that you get to designate your life with intent to find yourself interacting with the Spirit of God's work and through the Word of God and through the work of God. This is a very unique privilege. And I dare say that most of us take it for granted. And I said us, I didn't say you. Most of us take it for granted. In fact, some of you might be so eager to be done that you're really taking it for granted instead of realizing this very moment is a unique assignment opportunity compared to the majority of the world. Shame on us for being so careless. That's not a rebuke, it's a confession. God, help us to realize how blessed and privileged we are to be in a place like this. And so with that in mind, do you have the grades to finish well? Well, I'd like to just encourage you to join me this morning as we review a model student fearing the Lord with straight Fs of all things. That seems to contradict what I asked about your grades a moment ago, but you'll see why in a moment. This particular student is in the setting of what I reference as the honor roll section of Scripture. There are places where names are given in categories and listings, and those names are not unimportant. Every time you have an occasion to read through a series of names in the Bible, just stop and remember this. God cares about you and your name. He really does. And so this particular category of listing of what I call the honor roll listing of Scripture is a familiar passage, probably identified with another description. Maybe you know it this way, the Hall of Faith. Hebrews chapter 11, if you'd turn there, please. Hebrews chapter 11, your Bible's in hand and you're ready to just note these particular illustrations from this particular example. And this particular illustration is one that I've used or that I am using because it really identifies our thought of fear with this particular hero or honor roll student. And so with that in mind, I just ask this question or make this statement with you that I'd like you to just join me in seeing when straight Fs are what you really need. Now, that's not an excuse for some of you that may be truly struggling with grades today. But in this category of our chapel time, dismiss those concerns for a moment and recognize that this particular illustration is an example of someone that demonstrated the importance of having straight Fs in accomplishing his testimony. As we look at verse 7 of chapter 11, this one verse is where I'm going to spend my time with you today. Would you follow as I read? By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Would you say that phrase with me? Moved with fear. One more time. Moved with fear. We're going to focus on that a little bit later. Moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. This particular single verse captures the testimony of a stellar student who was a person who feared God. I'd like you to see these particular components that describe that. And so the testimony of his life with these particular three Fs that I believe describe his example that we should follow. First, he's got a class on faith that he gives us. I don't know if you've enrolled in that class, but you need to today. The class on faith and the phrase by faith at the beginning and by faith. This is a verse that is parenthesis with the terms by faith. By faith. This particular emphasis of faith is seen in a way that I want you to note, first of all, its importance. The importance of faith is pretty simply stated in the previous verse, which is this. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. You see, faith is the essence of what is required as we ever have any kind of a relationship with God that satisfies or pleases him. It's important. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. I often point out to persons who try to use the tools of what is modern-day apologetics. It's not historic apologetics, but modern-day apologetics, which tries to put together a series of proofs as to how I can commit or convince a lost person about the validity of my faith, maybe the validity of the Bible, the validity of the work of Christ. And so they go through this series of arguments, and apologetics is this, effort to try and convince them of what I believe. And I always point out the fact that, number one, you cannot argue spiritually with a lost person. The natural man doesn't understand the things of God, neither can he know them. So to try and convince a lost person about spiritual truth is impossible. Furthermore, coming to God is not an argument that I have to win. It's really a testimony of a person's exercise of faith. Without faith, it is impossible. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, not prove that he is. And so this is important. Faith is essential. Faith is essential. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's to the believer. And for salvation, we must come by faith, not by sight or by an evidence of proofs. And so I'm not trying to discourage the opportunity to understand the reliability of your testimony and your faith, but I remind you that apologetics in its historic beginning was not a statement to try and convince the lost. It was a matter of confirming to the believer that what they were dying for in the arenas of Rome was worth it. And so with that sense of an awareness, faith is important. By faith, not a New Testament term, it's always been the walk. Salvation in the Old Testament and the New Testament's always been by faith. There's not one way to be saved in the Old Testament, one way to be saved in the New Testament. By faith. By faith. The importance of faith we see. Without faith, impossible to please him. We walk by faith and not by sight. But note the next implication of faith. By faith is an implication that I put this thought to. It means I trust God. What does it mean to have faith? It's a word of trust. Our meditation verse a moment ago. The fear of man bringeth a snare, Proverbs 29:25. But whoso trusteth in the Lord, and the concept is there, but whoso has faith in the Lord is safe. The implication of faith is that it is the action of my action of trust in God. I trust. You know, it's not a matter of proving, not a matter of being able to rationally explain. It's a matter of acting in trust upon what God says. And so I encourage you today to see that this class on faith is essential if we're going to be servants who fear the Lord. And Noah displays it immensely in ways that we can't even begin to imagine. No access to the Bible, no access to the indwelling Holy Spirit of God with confirmation in his heart. Not saying that the Spirit of God never ministered to him, but he didn't have the assurance of his indwelling presence like we do. He didn't have the configuration of a collection of saints around his life. In fact, just by the end of the day, it's just him and his family. I often say that the toughest time to ever live for God was Noah's day, because he lived in a world that was probably nearly as populated as today's globe by, you know, conservative Bible scholars. And yet by the end of the time of his preparation and his announcement and his preaching, etc., at the end of the day, there are only 8 righteous people in the entire world. Stop and ponder for a moment. We have more righteous people by scores in this room than what he had in his world. And yet by faith, he trusted God with an assignment that was, you know, pretty amazing. All you got to do is go see the ark. If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. Or the assignment that says there's going to be a flood when there'd never been rain that had been accumulated like that in the history of the world. And to know how to best anticipate God's plan. Faith, trust in God. Can I just say that if there's something you're having difficulty trusting God, it might be your future as you graduate, you're not sure. Trust God by faith. Walk by faith. It might be a student need right now that you're not sure about your bill this semester or about your plans to return next fall. Trust God. By faith, we walk by faith. And if we cannot do it in these incremental steps, we're not doing it in the major steps of life. And so a class on faith is essential to be a servant who fears the Lord. But then our second class that we need to have this particular preparation for our accounting day is a class on fear. A class on fear. The passage goes on to say, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house by which he condemned the world. This particular class on fear, I have 5 thoughts I want to just bring to your attention briefly with it. And first off is the attention, as it were, attuned to God. Attuned to God. Noah being warned of God. I don't mind saying this, that I think that sometimes God has intended messages he wants us to capture, and we don't hear them. So many sounds in the course of our day. We have sounds that constantly are plugging our ears or taking our attention. I often say, as I even seek to encourage young people to come to Appalachian Bible College, I'll say, you know, the truth is, you live in such a noisy world that you probably have never had a chance to even hear the still small voice of God because of how noisy your world is. We have the sounds of those that are trying to get our attention and follow them with their thinking, with their, you know, their particular activities. Can I just tell you, Noah had an ear tuned to God. When God warned him, he heard it. Here's a question for all of us. If God gave a message to me that was supposed to be shared with others, would I have an ear that was in tune with him? I'm not talking about some audible voice. I'm talking about even the message of his word. Here's an illustration. He had this sense of fear of God that caused him to be listening for God, warned of God, attuned to God, but he also was attentive to God. Attentive. Being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Of things not seen as yet. You know, the illustration's pretty amazing. We don't have the intent this morning to go back to that passage in Genesis where his life is described. But you just imagine hearing this message of an ark and the details of it and the process of constructing it and then the process of anticipating this massive global flood. I mean, all of that just seems, you know, unbelievable. Seems like a, you know, some kind of a, you know, a little bit of a fairy tale. And yet he found himself giving attentive response to God's message. Things not seen as yet. That's acting by faith, obviously, trusting God with what he said. But this class on fear has a person who's attuned to God. He's attentive to God, but he's also with an attitude towards God. His attitude is he moved with fear. He moved with fear. I mentioned a moment ago as we read that I was going to ponder that passage a little more, that phrase. I believe that there's certainly a sense in which Noah moved with fear because he was aware that God has the capacity and the capability to take this destructive measure that he predicted. And so he was rightfully afraid, rightfully afraid. And by the way, fear is a healthy sentiment. It can certainly be distracting and can be debilitating, but I do believe that fear in its ultimate sense is a wholesome thing for us to have. We ought to have a sense of fear. God gave us that. Whether it's the fear of falling or the fear of some particular element of life, but he moved with fear in the sense here of awareness of what God was doing. I'd like you to just capture these three words with this idea of moved with fear and add it to your notes. First of all, he was not stagnant. He had direction. He had direction. He went about this opportunity with a sense of doing something. I want to say this for a moment to you that are graduating. You know, I say this with genuine love, not with judgment. But the truth is, you may not know what God wants you to do at this moment by way of a destination, but you better not sit around and wait for him to tell you. You need to move. You need to find yourself stepping out by faith and saying, I believe this is what God... And by the way, serving him. Don't let yourself be distracted with some kind of a secular ambition or a distraction of some kind of secular, you know, goal. No, what a unique privilege. You've been privileged to be trained with an opportunity to then go serve as others that have not been trained could not do. Move, direction, find yourself in motion for God. I often say as I work in capacities of leadership that I would rather steer a moving vehicle as to try and push one to get it going. And God wants us. We walk by faith. As we, you know, you've probably heard different illustrations. I like the illustration of the fact that, you know, it's like driving a car at night when you have the headlights on your car. If you stop your car, you can eventually move out of the range of those headlights. But if you keep moving progressively down the road, the headlights keep shining more and more and more, and you see what you're supposed to do. That's what it is to follow God. You keep moving. A direction. Moved with faith. As he cut the first board, as he pegged the first joint, as he found himself pitching the first bit of tar, I promise you, he didn't know for sure how this was all going to go because he hadn't seen it yet. We know the end of the story. He didn't. And so with a sense of intentional move, but not only move is direction, with is the fact that we have a dependence. You know, with is a beautiful word. We're not alone. We're with him. He moved with the sense of a dependence upon God, this sense of fear of God. And I'm so glad we're not alone. We have the promise of his presence. And so he moved direction with dependence, fear, if you will. That was his very sense of his demeanor, how he did it, with a sense of awe and privilege and awareness of reverence to God. Can I just encourage us as a campus family that in a world that is so driven by secular and selfish interests, that we must intentionally determine to have an awareness of God, or we will take him for granted. I find myself, as I am called upon, for example, on occasions to pray, often pausing before I pray to just stop and think what I get to do. I get to talk with God. As you have the Bible, I don't mind saying, as I pick my Bible up to come to chapel, I say, Lord, help every student and every staff member as they take their Bible in this moment to realize what a precious treasure they have. And it's not just trying to be prescriptive or paternalistic. Why would you not come to chapel with a Bible when that's what it's going to be about, is the Bible? You're not dishonoring me. You're not dishonoring anybody. You're dishonoring God and the importance of God in your life. Do you have a demeanor that truly shows a fear of God, even in the way you handle the scriptures? I share the story of an illustration that happened years ago as I was ministering in a conference out in Iowa with one of our alumni. And as we were on the platform, I noticed that there was sort of an oddity because the arrangement on the platform was pretty uniform, but there was this small table next to where the pastor sat. And as I observed it, I said, it's a pretty unique idea to have that little table there for you. He said, no, he said, it's for this reason. He said, as I came as pastor, I wanted people to realize how special the Bible was, and I didn't want to even put my Bible on the floor as I was up here on the platform. Now, that might seem a little exaggerated. We're not worshiping a book in the technical sense of the word, but can I tell you, would you have a demeanor that gives fear to God? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And so here's this particular attitude towards God. But then that follows with an action for God in verse 7. In this same class on fear, he prepared an ark. Prepared an ark. I wrote in my Bible, understatement. That little phrase, prepared an ark. I mean, it's not like he went out and just, bought a rowboat. But he literally built this massive structure, which we're now privileged to have an actual illustration of. As you've been to the ark, if you've been there, and you see the massive components that went into that construction, he prepared an ark. Wow. Think it was easy? No. Think all the materials were just stacked up for him to just put it together like a Tinker Toy set? No. Do you think it was, a Lego set? No. It was truly a massive assignment. His action for God. Can I just dare you to do something massive for God? I dare you to determine, say, Lord, if you want me to build arcs for you, I'll build arcs for you. Instead of being content with the satisfaction of a little bit here and a little bit there, God deserves more than a sampler plate at the table of service. He deserves the full menu. Give it all to him. Give it all to him. Your actions speak louder than your words. My actions speak louder than my words. Am I with abandonment of service to him? Our motto, because life is for service, is so common that we just sort of gloss over it when it is the reality of the very essence of what we're about. Not as a school, but as a believer. The only reason we're still alive, once we're saved, is to serve God. Never forget it. Actions. He prepared an ark. I dare you to do something difficult for God. And so here's this action for God in this class on fear. But then we see this achieving for God as we wrap up that class on fear. To the saving of his house. To the saving of his house. It wasn't about Noah. I know that we live in a world of such self-focused attention all the time that it's difficult to really think differently. We're all selfish creatures by nature. We want it our way. We think we deserve more. We think we should be treated better. Why can't I have it my way? And on we go with this very self-centered world in which we live. But do you know that the real thought of Noah's act was not saving him, it was saving his family. Saving his family. Will you find yourself with a desire not to be just selfishly saving your family? That's not it. It was really just, it was saving civilization. This is not intended to be a cheap shot nor a sarcastic statement, but the truth is, if Noah hadn't done his job, we wouldn't be sitting here today. You know that? Yeah. Somewhere along the line, I run into people all the time whose names are Anderson. They're, you know, Andersons are a dime a dozen. And someone will say, are you related to so-and-so named Anderson? I'll say, well, maybe back to Noah somewhere. I don't know. They're not part of my family. But the truth is, we all could trace at some point our lineage back to one of those eight. Amazing. Amazing. And so God help us to find ourselves with this ambition, this achievement for God to save those around us. That gives us the class on fear. But next we come to our class number three on future. The class on future. The last part of verse 7 says, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Here's this model honor student who in the class of his learning, that class of faith, that class of fear, but now this class of future. The future that we see, first of all, is that he rejects the world. Look at verse 7, it says, by which he condemned the world. I don't think that Noah was on some kind of campaign to picket the culture of his day. But his life did. His life did. Condemned is not a passive word here. It is a very active word. I have these three words of description for condemned. First off, to condemn means you've got convictions about something. Convictions, things that you believe non-negotiably. And so he moved with conviction as he condemned the world. It also is a statement that describes courage. It takes courage to oppose this world system. And by the way, world there is not the earth or the globe. It's the world system is what the word means in the original text. And so here he finds himself with a sense of conviction in opposition to this world. And with courage to take it on. One of the dilemmas of today's culture is that we have this sense that we think we're more, you know, somehow acceptable to be more openly tolerant of differences, et cetera, et cetera. I have no student in mind at this moment, but I will say that I've had this conversation with students through the years, and nobody in this room is in my mind when I say this right now. But it is a burden to me when a student will say as they come here, well, I don't believe this particular thing, but I don't care if somebody else does. Whether it's in the area of abortion or in the area of homosexuality or whatever. Can I just tell you this? We ought to have courage to stand up for right and conviction about doing it. He condemned the world. Courage was followed then by commitment. He didn't passively have this. He actively had this. And so with a sense of intentional commitment to make this happen. Every day he found himself with, an announcement of condemnation on the world as he completed this particular massive project. You talk about a visual aid, the world could miss the fact that something was going to happen. And I know I've seen different portrayals of this in movies and in occasions, but I don't know what happened when the door of the ark was shut and everybody else is out and around. And I promise you, initially, there was probably some mockery about saying, okay, I wonder how long it's going to be before they come out. And then the rain comes down, and the shock of that is going to be new to everybody. What's this stuff falling in the sky? And then as the rain keeps coming, and the rain keeps coming, and the rain keeps coming, and whether or not literally people start beating on the side of that ark trying to get in, I don't know for sure. I can't tell you what the day was like. But I do know this. Noah unashamedly announced condemnation to the world system in which he lived. God give us that boldness. That's the future of what you have as you move forward, to reject this world system. But then it's rewarded with righteousness as you do that, verse 7 says, and became heir of the righteousness. This was not a work salvation. This is the reward of his testimony of salvation. He became an heir of the righteousness of God. Aren't you glad today for the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus in your life? Wow. Aren't you glad? Yeah, I think the rest of you should be too. Aren't you glad? Yeah. Wow. We don't deserve it. All of our righteousnesses are filthy rags, but he has imputed to us the righteousness, the robes of righteousness, which we are privileged to have. And so rewarded for that which he did with this reliance upon faith. Verse closes with that righteousness which is by faith. He hadn't seen it. He was trusting God for it. But what a testimony that's heralded in this listing of these honor students given for us in the book of Hebrews. I wonder today if you would find yourself determining to have straight F's. If you do, as Noah did, I promise you, you will do well in your classes. I'm not worried about anybody justifying their GPA, literally, because they say, I heard a sermon that said I should have F's. You've totally missed the point if that's what you decide. The truth is, if we have the F's of faith and fear and future, we will give ourselves with abandonment to do whatever God wants with all that we can. And so the comment is this, finish well. Finish well. I know that for some, that's a challenge because you've wasted time up to this point. Can I just tell you, pick up the pieces where you are and finish well. For others of you, you may have started well and you haven't maintained it. For those of you, you may find yourself coasting because you're already doing well enough, you just feel like you're satisfied. By God's grace, I dare say most of you, maybe all of you, have this ambition by the grace of God to say, oh God, help me finish well. One of the verses we memorized this year, which has been one of my favorite, is Psalm 34 and verse 9. As I posted here, would you just join me in the reading of this verse if you need to read it? We've not reviewed it in a while as we memorized it. But let's read this together, would you? Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Psalm 34, 9, yeah. What an ambitious undertaking. Fear God, and there's no want to those that fear him. God doesn't say things that aren't true. He doesn't promise things he doesn't fulfill. He has promised that as we fear him, there'll be no deficiency in all that we face. As I used that verse in my presence prayer partners weeks ago, I had a person respond to me and say, Dr. Anderson, I just am having difficulty with your explanation of this verse because I have friends who wish that they didn't have cancer. I have friends who wish that this child wasn't walking waywardly and on and on. And I said, and I answered them by saying, well, you know what? All I can say is what the Bible says. And the Bible says, as I fear him, there's no want to my life. So circumstances that seem needy to me or seem unfair to me must have some accomplished purpose that God wants to accomplish that makes it such it's no want to me. And I believe that with all my heart. Am I suggesting you won't have difficulties when you walk with the Lord and fear him? No, but I can promise you this, as you fear him, those difficulties will be of his design and you will be better because of it. God takes his children through trials, not away from them. And so what a great privilege to find this no fear. And so with that in mind, I leave this closing phrase that we've emphasized a couple of times already, and that is this. Would you determine that you'll move with fear? That you'll move with fear. Have direction. Get going. Do something for God. But with a sense of his companionship, his help, we have that wonderful privilege with this awareness of the way I should look at that. My demeanor, my disposition should be, oh God, help me to fear you. As we began, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso trusteth, whoso feareth in the Lord shall be safe. And so my prayer to you, dear campus family, as we conclude this focus in our chapel season, is that you will find yourself determined to be a Noah in your generation. Say, oh God, help me to have this simple statement about my life, by faith, move with fear, by faith. You're not going to build an ark like he did. You may not be warned of God to have condemnation on the world like he did, but I can promise you this, you must be by faith, with a sense of fear of God, until the very future of your life is concluded by faith. Would you bow with me, please, as we close this morning? And as your heads are bowed, I'd like you to just ponder for a moment these words which we have so frequently referenced throughout this year. Servants who fear the Lord. Serve the Lord with fear. I wonder if you need to reestablish your fear of God this morning. Have you become comfortable in just the routine of your life? Are you in this very moment sitting here with some measure of complacency? Maybe just waiting for the closing prayer so you can leave? Or do you have a heart that is so absolutely concerned about God and fearing Him that the very thought of displeasing Him is paralyzing to you? Could I just encourage us to move with fear? Move with fear. Head still bowed, eyes closed. Would you say that phrase with me? Move with fear. One more time. Move with fear. Oh God, may you help this entire campus family, faculty, staff, students. May we, with harmony of your guidance, move with fear. Thank you for giving us examples like Noah. He had far less going for him than we do. And yet he was dynamically used because he moved with fear. May that be the testimony of every life in this room. Help us to move with fear. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.